Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been getting warmer up there. The tulips are up a little bit, and the irises and the lily of the valley as well. But the ground is still frozen, as Pastor Liz found out on Monday this week when she went out to the cemetery because a grave needed to be dug for a woman whose remains had arrived in town on Monday and whose funeral was scheduled for Friday. She was having to take responsibility for it herself because Larry, the cemetery custodian, is in the hospital with chest pains. And so she looked through the map of the cemetery and who was where. This was a cousin of the Tollefsons, and she had been living down in Washington, D.C. for the past 40-some years, and she wanted to be buried near her parents. So Pastor Liz had to make out this chart. She had a hard time making it out. She called in Clint Bunsen, and they poked around for a while and decided they should probably put the grave right there. They got up Tuesday morning, and she could not get in touch with the man who runs the backhoe. And so the two of them started in to dig. They had put down a bed of hot coals the night before, so they were able to make their way, but it was hard going, hard going. "Who is this we're digging this grave for?" Clint said. "Well," she said, "it's a cousin of the Tollefsons." In fact, her name was Liz, too, Liz Tollefson. She went to Washington because she worked for Hubert Humphrey for a while, and then she got a job in a part of the government called the Board of U.S. Geographic Names. And she worked there giving names to mountains and hills and rivers and lakes and adjudicating disputes over names and so forth. Her great accomplishment was that she managed to change the name of Mount McKinley up in Alaska to Mount Denali. That took her several years. She went off to Wyoming after she retired. She retired and went off on a hike to the Grand Tetons, where she had named a mountain, not the highest mountain, but a fairly high mountain, Mount Tollefson. And she wanted to take a picture of it to send back home, and she hiked up to the top, and she collapsed. And she died of a heart attack. She was not found for several months after that. She was 71 years old, so that's who she is. We're going to bury her right here. "I hope this is the right place," said Pastor Liz. It was hard digging, and Clint Bunsen had to take a rest ever so often. And as he did, he told jokes. He told Ole and Lena jokes. Ole lying on his deathbed, and he called his family around him. He said, "Are you all here?" "Oh, we're all here, Papa. We're all here." "Are you here, Lena?" "Yes, I'm here. I'm here, Daddy." "You here, Sina and Lars and Ole Jr.? You here, Solvi?" "Yes, we're all here, Daddy. We're all with you." "Well, if you're all here, then why are the lights on downstairs?" Pastor Liz never did care for Ole and Lena jokes, but whoever cared about that, who told Ole and Lena jokes in the past. Ole lying on his deathbed, and he said to Lena, "Lena, you've been with me now for 48 years. You've been with me through everything, and the crop failures and the farm going bankrupt and the tornado wiping out the barn and the house, and then the stroke and the heart attack, and now the liver cancer. You've been with me through all of it, through all of my troubles. And you know something, Lena? I'm starting to think that you're bad luck." They dug and they dug and they dug. They got down deeper and deeper and deeper. It was a cold day, and they got out a pick. He had a shovel. They dug fairly straight walls of this grave. It was going to be 6.5 feet long and go down 6 feet. So Ole lay on his deathbed, And he could smell this wonderful smell of Lena's rhubarb strawberry pie. He was dying. He knew he was dying. But he managed to get out of bed, and he crawled down the stairs and into the kitchen. And there it was, sitting on the counter. And he pulled himself up by a drawer handle, and he got out a knife, and he was just about to cut into it. And Lena slapped him across the head. She said, "Ole, that's for the funeral. That's not..." They got down 3.5 feet, and they hit concrete with their shovels. They tapped on it. There was something hollow down below. Sure enough, it was the vault of another grave. Somebody was down below. "Well, what are we going to do?" "Well, Liz said we're going to have to start digging a new grave." Well, Clint said, "I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, she was cremated, right? 3.5 feet, that's enough to put an urn of ashes down." "Yeah, but I don't think her parents are down in this." "Well, I don't want to look, but what difference does it make to them, after all?" So they decided they would put Liz Tollefson right down there with whoever was there and just hope they would get along over over an eternity. There were 45 people who came to the funeral. Though she'd been gone from town now for almost 50 years, 45 people came, a few of them related to her distantly, and the others were on a call list that the Altar Guild has when there are not enough people attending to make it a decent funeral. They will call people who have extra time. And, you know, even in a small town, there are people who sort of are fond of funerals, older women mostly, and people who cry really, really well and don't need to have a good reason. So there were 45 people there. A pastor from South Dakota, Deloitte Anderson, was the family's choice to give the sermon. And he spoke on a verse from the gospel, from the lectionary, from Jesus going to Jerusalem before he was crucified. "Behold, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That was his text. That was his text. It wasn't much of a text, but he made the most of it. Deloitte Anderson, the pastor. And he started to weep as he talked about the goodness in the world. More people come in behalf of the Lord than we may realize. There's such goodness around us. We need to see the divine in other people. We need to recognize Jesus in people whom we know and lift that up. He was weeping. He was sobbing as he spoke, the urn sitting there at his feet. You just hoped he wouldn't kick it. He was sobbing, tears running down his cheek. It was sort of distressing to the Tollefson family because they had not known their relative that well, and they were not sure what they should do. But to the old women who were freelancing, this was the high point of their week. They sobbed for the life of this woman whom they did not know. They wept. They collapsed in each other's arms. And afterward, the ashes were put down in that 3.5 feet of dirt and covered up on top of somebody else, who knew who. And they came back to the church for tater tot hot dish, which somebody might well have run away to Washington, D.C. to get away from. And Pastor Liz talked to Pastor Deloitte Anderson just to find out why he'd been so moved by this verse from Scripture. "Well," he said, "it's because she was the woman whom my father was deeply in love with. But she was a Hubert Humphrey Democrat, and my father was a Eugene McCarthy Democrat. And after 1968, they were so incensed at each other that they did not speak for 10 years, even though they had been in love before. She was the woman that he was truly in love with, not the woman he eventually married. She was the woman who should have been my mother. And so I was weeping for my mother and imagining who I might have been had my father only reconciled with her. Pastor Liz said, well, you wouldn't have been you. There's no way of knowing who you would have been. Well, he said, that wouldn't be the worst thing, but I'd never had a choice about that. So spring is coming on, and the winter cardinal, the song can be heard, and the irises and the tulips are coming up, and eventually the grass will grow over that little patch of dirt out there in the cemetery. This is a little song for Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.